Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
Heart of man has questioned if God is real. Their eyes have searched for a living God and a love that they can feel. Well, I've got good news, I'm a living proof. If you could see inside, you'd find a holy risen Lord in a place where he resides.
I know
right where he lives.
Down deep inside
there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Seems every day I hear someone say, my God cannot be found. If he exists, he's powerless and never reaches down. But you can't convince a man who once was blind but now can see that God is dead or anything less than he ever claimed to be.
I know right where he lives.
Down deep inside
there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
I know
right where he lives.
Down deep
inside there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Well, I know
right where he lives.
Down
deep inside there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Hello, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. We sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in, and thank you for your attention. Thank you for your prayers for the program and for all the support that we receive. Certainly appreciate it all and ask you to continue to be in prayer for this work. We have a desire to do those things which that the Lord would have to be done and to be helpful in such a way that when the work is done, that it'll be a work that is not only good here, but it's laid up for time hereafter. So please pray for the work, that it would be such as that. And I believe that there is those things which that we do here for the Lord, which not only is for here, but then it's for hereafter as well. And I believe very much that God's the one who that directs such a work as that. So please pray for that good end. We had a song played as we come on. Hope you've enjoyed the good song. I'm thankful for the ability to know, indeed, that I am one of those who God has saved. I'm thankful to be able to relate to a time and a place of when that God saved my soul. And I just hope that as you think about your own experience with the Lord, that you're able to relate to such a time and a place when in prayer you sought after God and God saved your soul. So that's a song such as help us think back about such times. I enjoy those, and that's just been on my heart. It seemed like I woke up this morning thinking about that and felt like we needed to have it played as we came this way. So hope you've enjoyed it, and if so, be careful to thank the Lord for that. We do need to go to the Lord in prayer And then after we pray, we want to take up our thought. So if it's to where you can and you'd like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your great many blessings you so richly extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. And we're thankful, God, for thy long-suffering and mercy. Ask you to forgive us our sins, forgive us our shortcomings, and help us, Father, that by your own guidance and direction, we'd be such as we know we can't be without you, our God. Deliver us from our sins. Help us, Father, that we'd be such a vessel that you could direct and use to help others. We pray again for those who are not well. Pray for the sad, for the lonely. Pray for the needy. The many circumstances wherein men and women are oppressed. We pray, Lord, for the comfort of all. Help us, Lord, to have the law of kindness about us. Might be indeed a help unto those in whom we meet. And pray, Lord, mainly for the lost, knowing that they have the worst condition of all. Open their eyes to the condition of their own soul. Ye, Lord, let them see also the great offering of God on the cross of Calvary, and turning thereunto that the lost would find soul salvation. We pray, O God, that you would help us in the work that be effective, that the word that goes forward, that it would be effectual in the hearts of hearers, and that among all the things that's being said in the world today, that the truth of God would reach out, men being directed by the Spirit of God, so that those that hear it would know that the things that they're hearing is from God, that they would know the difference and see the difference. Oh, Father, we pray again for our land and country. I ask you to protect our soldiers on foreign soil. Protect the families who are separated at this time. Let them be returned safe. And Father, we pray for our leaders, that you'd grant us leaders who would indeed be desirous to do the things that would please God, and that they'd be wise to turn from the things which would be against your will. Bless again this work. Help it, Lord, to accomplish those things you'd have it to accomplish. Forgiving us again for our shortcomings, those things we fail to ask, fail not to grant. If we seek all favors and blessings in Christ's name, for his name's sake, we do pray. Amen. We said earlier that we have a thought on our heart we feel like we need to try to address, and we want to give our attention to that thought. We want to read some scriptures today from the book of Ephesians. And out of Ephesians and in chapter 5, we'll read some verses here. We have been saying as we come this way that the thought that's been on our heart is are those thoughts which are found in what's sometimes called articles of faith, or these are just basic beliefs, common beliefs among Bible studiers, and just letting the Bible say what it says, that you come out with a very fundamental and basic faith. And these have been expressed in what's called articles of faith. There are more detailed descriptions, but you almost get in those sort of descriptions. You almost get into studying something besides the Bible. And I would rather have something that gives a general outline, and then through the help of the Lord, study into the depth of the Scriptures with the leadership of God Himself. That rather than getting wrapped up into something which would be a substitute for the Bible. So what we have last tried to address, or previously we've tried to address the subject of the church, article relating to the church, and we spent some time on that thought. Felt like though we needed to give some more attention to this subject of the church, and to introduce our thoughts before we read points from this article, we want to read some scriptures out of the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And here, beginning with verse 22, we find a description, rather what we might say, we find a comparison of a marriage relationship to the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. I notice as I get ready to read this that the concluding point in these passages is the verse that says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So we're going to find a parallel, an example, between the marriage, as God intended marriage to be, and in that he is making a comparison between the relationship of a husband and his wife to the Lord and his church. With that in mind, then, we'll read out of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. It said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And with the mistakes we've may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Ephesians chapter 5. We've read from verse 22 down through verse 33. I notice, as has already been stated, that the scriptures indeed in teaching about the relationship between Christ and his church, that there is a mystery associated with this relationship. And so as we consider how that the wife is related, or it has this relationship to her husband, and it's one that's so close that we find that husband and wife, when they're joined together, that they become a flesh of each other's flesh. They're no longer twain, they're no longer two, they're no longer separate, but they are joined together, they're united. And in that union, there's a closeness. Now, doesn't mean that they might not have friendship with someone else, but there's never going to be a relationship that is that they'll have with in friendship such as they're to have with their spouse. There's a close and uniqueness to this relationship above all others, and I don't believe that there is any great, shouldn't be anything that challenges our imagination or makes us wonder, think, well, how can these things be? You take the natural example of relationships among men and women, and to compare that with what marriage is supposed to be, and then you think about how that this is being compared to the relationship the church is to have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that closeness there, and that in this relationship, it tells us and describes for us something unique among those who have been born again, so that when we, as we took up last time, and that the church, and that we believe that a church, the visible church of Christ, is a congregation of baptized believers. And that is believers who have united together with the Lord through baptism. That brings them into this special church relationship, not in order to be saved, but because they've already been saved. Thinking then about the church, we find that the next point in the article, speaking of these baptized believers, that they have been associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel. That is, that these baptized believers have been brought together to a specific faith, a specific covenant in a faith, a order of doctrine. And that is a system which gives us a practice. And this is a practice which is from God. Think about another verse of scripture from over in the book of Ephesians right now. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, speaking of this special faith, Scripture tells us this: "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all." That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. This tells us there's but one faith, one practice, one belief system, which is of the Lord. So when we're speaking of being called unto a covenant, called unto a covenant by which we're associated with each other, most importantly, our association is with Christ, and through that relationship, we're brought together with each other. They're associated by a covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel. Think of some scriptures which that presents this to us. When we start learning about the body of Christ, which is the church, one of the earliest places we read of when the Lord, after he'd organized his church, give it the worldwide commission, then on the day of Pentecost, he adds to the church, which had already been established. We find this in verses 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 2. Now in these verses, we find that the Apostle Peter, he had answered a very important question, a question which that those who witnessed the church receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost as the Holy Spirit took up its abode in the body, in the church body. And we notice that the people who were there, they inquired what it was that this meant, that they were witnessing. The Apostle Peter, in answering that, brought a message before these people that stirred their very heart, insomuch that we find in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Now being pricked in their heart, we find that they were called on to repent, and having repented, to be baptized. And being gladly those who responded to this positively, well, we find then in verses 41 and 42 something that we learn about these. It says in verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." They were called together. Not only had they been baptized, they were brought together. And we find that they steadfastly continued in the apostles' doctrine and in their fellowship. That is, they were brought together. They were united. And this is what that we find in this basic article that says that the church is a congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel. This doctrine is called the apostles' doctrine. This is the doctrine which that they received from Christ. They were taught of the Lord, and as they were taught of the Lord, think about over in John in chapter 17. Now John chapter 17, the scripture here reveals to us what the Lord prayed. And as he prayed that these who had followed him all during his personal ministry, these who we read about in Acts chapter 2, that they are the ones who had these doctrines, which is called the apostles' doctrine, that these who, when they were saved and baptized, that they were, they joined together, united together, and they stayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now think about these men. This was not their own doctrine. It was something that the Lord entrusted with them. Scripture says this. Now, I'm reading out of John 17 to point out just how that this doctrine wasn't the apostles'. Oh, no, they received it of the Lord. Notice this. It says, this is, I'm just going to read part of this, where the Lord is in prayer in John 17. He in prayer says this, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, and I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed thou didst send me." Now notice this. So here they are with the word that the Lord brought from heaven, and he taught it to them. He's saying that much in this prayer. I read further then in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." Now, what does this say? Here he acknowledges the word which he's brought, which makes up this apostle's doctrine. He acknowledges that this is what he brought. He received it from God the Father. He taught it, and he says that he has brought it to these, and they've received it. And then he further prays, this being the Lord Jesus Christ, further prays, and that those who would hear of what that these men who had received this doctrine, and that those who would hear this word that they would preach, and that they would be united together. They would be as one, congregated together through this word. So I think it's very important to look at how that this doctrine, that it was indeed from God. So that when we consider what this basic article teaches, it teaches that when people are associated in the visible church of Christ, these baptized believers, and that they're being brought to the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the Lord working in the matter, bringing people unto this assembly, this visible assembly, to this one faith, this faith, which we find here is a heaven-delivered faith, heaven-delivered teachings, which when we read about these on the day of Pentecost, too, when they were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Well, that doctrine, that fellowship, that union that they were brought to, well, that was a heaven-delivered doctrine. That was a heaven-delivered faith system. Wasn't something that these men sat down and schemed up on their own. Let me read one more point, and this would be in the Great Commission. I noticed the Lord, and he sent the church out. He said, go ye therefore, this is Matthew 28, verses 19, 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What did the Lord command these men to teach? What was their doctrine? He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching the directions, the directives, the word of the Lord. And I must just consider one more point here that's on our heart out of the book of Jude. And this is in the book of Jude, right before the book of the Revelation. Here we notice the scriptures teach us this. And I want you to notice how. I want you to notice the distinction between teaching about soul salvation and this faith. This faith which was once delivered to the saints. This one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This faith which, when baptized believers who are part of the visible church of Christ, they are associated by covenant in this faith and fellowship of the gospel. Notice this. Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, notice he says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that salvation that's common to every child of God. So now, I notice, see, he had this one thing. But notice that this faith, which was once delivered to the saints, had to be something separate. Something that was in addition to, something that was besides this common salvation, or he wouldn't have brought it up like this. He said, and I gave all diligence to do this one thing. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. This other point, this faith, which was once delivered to the saints. So when we think about this faith in which that the baptized believers are associated in a covenant unto, it's the faith that was delivered to the saints. Who delivered it to them? Well, that was Christ Jesus. Christ pointed out in these other verses of Scripture. And the Lord prayed, thanking God that these had received this word which God had given him to deliver to them. And then prayed further for even us who would hear it in this day, hear it in this day, and believe upon it. Going further then on this point of the articles, it says, associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing the ordinances of Christ. Now, to have a reference here out of this, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we notice, speaking of the very ordinances themselves, think about how the Apostle Paul was a man who
was no doubt a God-sent man who went forth doing the work of the Lord. I think here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we read, "But ye be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." He says of the church there at Corinth, you can go back in the book of Acts, chapter 18. You can read of how that the Lord used the Apostle Paul to do a great work in Corinth. Many of these Corinthians had been saved. Not only that, but they'd been organized into a church, baptized to be brought into that visible body of Christ. And he says to them there then how that he was commending them on how they had followed after what that he taught them, and they had kept the ordinances which he delivered to them. Now, they didn't just pick them up on their own. They didn't make them up. Paul delivered them, that is the ordinances, delivered the ordinances to this people. Now, I think that's very significant. I saw that these, had they were keepers of the ordinances. They were not just those who started performing them. The ordinances were brought to them, and having been entrusted with them, they kept them and observed them. Observed them just like Paul said he did in following Christ. I think about one more verse in the same chapter where it says in verse 23, he says, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the night that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And anybody who care to read further into this chapter would know that the chapter goes on and explains how the Lord's Supper is to be observed. These ordinances were delivered unto these people to keep. So in thinking about the belief about the visible church, very important teachings in this, more to be covered than time allows, but felt like we just need to touch on these points. Hope something's been brought out, it's been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord with that. Appreciate your prayers. Remember to pray for us. Pray for the broadcast. We'll be careful to pray for you as well. Again, may God bless, richly bless you and yours.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. And you can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.